Bedtime Stories Podcast. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the weekly challenge number 254, where I post the topic to podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, and then you come up with a 100-word story based on that topic. The topic this week was kind of a train wreck: consternation, floor wax, firewood, and deadly marshmallows. Still, people managed to write stories on all those topics. That's pretty impressive. So, let's find out who made it to the finish line. First up, it's Tom, who's been giving us daily suggestions on how to write 100-word stories based on his voluminous experience. Let's hear what Tom's got to offer this week. Tom, tell us a story.
Hello, night people. Tom here. I've got some weekly challenge updates. Young Danny Dreyer has moved into the 44th place behind K9, Tom with a 4, and Craig. In his march to the 14th position, a master Terrazabyte is one story shy from the 33rd position. Zachman is 3 stories shy of the 11th position. TJ passes Liana, moving into the 9th position. Planet Z is 1/4 of his way to 1,000 stories. But the really, really important update is Phil Norval Joe, who has, of today, the second longest run of stories in a row, 126. He is the Iron Monkey, who has but one last prize to take, the longest run of stories at the challenge, 148. L, we so need an Iron Monkey magnet. Tonight's story is called 254. I dropped floor wax on firewood. It created deadly marshmallows. I consternated for some time whether to give Timmy marshmallows. They glisten in the sun like caramelized candy cotton clouds. Timmy was a dick. One less Timmy, one less dick. I put the marshmallows next to the white kindergarten paste. "Poison marshmallows, don't eat," read the sign atop the marshmallows. Timmy read the sign and popped 2 into his mouth. It wasn't long before Timmy was rolling on the floor. His eyes glazed and turned a lovely shade of white. Come to think of it, Jimmy is a dick too.
Yes, we're going to get a lot of recipes out of this week for deadly marshmallows, I think. This is, get out your recipe cards, maybe get an app. What app do you use on your phone for storing recipes? I had Betty Crocker loaded on mine before. I don't know if I still do. Let me see, reference and cookbook, Betty Crocker. I don't use it, though. I don't really, it's on there, but I don't bring it up. Huh. Oh, well. Thank you, Tom, and good luck with Timmy and Jimmy and all the Emmys. Next up is Zachman. I wonder what... I think we're going to see a pattern here. What do you think? Is it good having a lot of topics, or does it wind up forcing people into the same idea in the end? I don't know. We'll see once all the stories come in.
Lit the firewood, wanting to relax after a long day of house cleaning, about to read The Deadly Marshmallows, a Harry Potter farce. Just as I sat down, the neighbor knocked on my back door. "Hi, I saw the use the back door sign. I think you may have used too much floor wax on the front deck. That will take days to dry. I am hoping it will cause the zombies some consternation. Also, hoping they can't read. Really? Aren't zombies always consternated? Good point. But it might be fun to watch if they fall for the wax deck.
Ah, yes, every week somebody's got to bring up zombies. What is it with zombies? Has the topic ever been zombies? There have been so many topics, I don't remember. I really don't remember. I suppose I could look it up. But that would just take time. It's 5 in the morning. I woke up at 4 because Bruin and Nardo were having a discussion about who got to sleep in my lap. I was laying down, and usually either Nardo sleeps against a knee or Bruin is up against Gina's feet, but Bruin decided to be all snuggly with me, and he was in Nardo's spot, and that didn't sit well for the old guy. So none of them are in here now. Well, it's dark in here. I can't see, and the laptop's light blinds me to anything else in the room. I should have probably waited an hour to do this, but yeah. I'll just get this done and out of the way, and you won't notice my exhaustion at all, really. So, we do have a new person to the weekly challenge this week, and it's exciting. It's Luke Poplin, one of my friends from Second Life here. So we've got more folks coming in. Pretty soon everyone will just be an avatar, and we won't exist, really. And, you know, someone will, you know, blow up a tape drive and we'll all be gone. Yeah, it's that simple. Okay, here's Luke. He's running fine. He isn't on a tape. He's on an optical disc. So here's Luke from his optical disc of joy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Luke Poplin, and this is my very first 100-word story. It's for Weekly Challenge 254, with a prompt of consternation and floor wax and firewood, and deadly marshmallows. Now, I'm not a writer, but when I saw these prompts, I did have an idea. I'm not sure it survives outside this context, but for this, I think it works. I call it contextual consternation. I wake up on the cold floor of an underground tunnel, a piece of firewood and a bloody grocery bag scattered around me. I rub my head, then use the blood-covered hand to swat away cogs floating around my head. A janitor slowly spreading floor wax at the tunnel entrance turns its head slowly toward me as I approach. "Catherine," I gasp, jumping back in consternation, gazing into cold, zombie-like eyes. Her head burns and swells like a flaming marshmallow. It swells and swells until I wake up in a cold sweat and run to the mirror. Oh, still Luke.
Ooh, that's a scary dream. Luke, now I don't want to go back to sleep. Thank you, but you're scaring me, man. You're scaring me. Hopefully you can scare me like that next week.
We want people to come back. They come in and some of them stay, but some of them vanish and we don't know where they go to.
I sometimes wonder where A.M. Early has gone off to. I don't know. Maybe Caleb is next door. Maybe he's the guy playing guitar in the other apartment. The walls are pretty thick, but he's pretty loud of a singer. I don't know. All right. Let me just get my head on straight here. How about we have the nuclear family read their stories? First up is of course Chris the nuclear kid, and then Stephen will go. Maybe I should have a glass of milk.
Attack of the Deadly Marshmallows. It started when my friend and I were at camp in the woods, hanging out. "Caleb, I'm going down to the river. Want to come?" "No thanks, Joe," I said. "Okay," walking down with some marshmallows. He turned the corner and was out of sight. A moment later, there was an ear-splitting scream. I ran to the creek. The ground was covered in marshmallows. As I watched, they moved together, growing bigger and combining. They followed me as I ran, and just in time, I got inside the car. Right now, I wish I'd taken driving lessons.
Well, thank you, Chris. I gotta tell you, driving's not that hard, really. I don't know why they do all the licensing and the testing and the lessons. You just sit behind the wheel, you turn the key, and go with the flow, man. Although, ask your dad first. Speaking of which, he's coming up right next. Steven the Nuclear Man. Let's hear what he's got.
Hey everybody, I wanted to let you know that coming soon, later this month, will be the first digital release from Alliteration Inc. That's me. It's the Crimson Pact. It's an anthology edited by Paul Jeunesse. It's going to have over 20 stories in it. It's huge. It's going to be digital only, so EPUB, Kindle, Kobo, PDF, you name it. The link to the website is in the show notes. And also, on top of everything else, we are taking submissions now for Volume 2. We're looking for flash fiction. So if you're interested, go for it. And thank you for letting me kind of butt in there, Lawrence. So, and why didn't you send in something? Come on, really. Anyway, my story for this week.
Consternation! Grandpa yelled. Colonel Mustard in the library with the marshmallows?
I smiled, cold in my army uniform. Grandpa's fireplace couldn't even heat the room. He rose shakily, and I frowned. Richer than Midas, but has no heater, won't get his hip replaced. Wouldn't even pay for Sue's hospital bills. I clamped that thought down. His liver-spotted hand landed on my shoulder, then tapped where my name tag read Ketchup.
It's funny, you making Colonel. Too bad Sue didn't get to see it.
I just pushed him onto the freshly waxed floor. The sound of his hip shattering sounded like vengeance.
Hey there, man. But first, thanks for the story. But hey, man, that's cool. Thing. Why did I send in something? Okay, here's the running joke. I always say that I'm always going to send something in, but I can't come up with anything. I write so many of these things that they just come out and I ask people, hey, you know, what's the, on Plark, I go, hey, what's the topic, or someone, I go, oh, you should write a story on this, and I write it, and then for the rest of the day, I'm like, oh, what am I going to write now? So, I never make deadlines or any of that stuff. Now, if people were to grab a story of mine and say, hey, we grabbed this story from 2008 and we just used it, and I'll be like, okay. I kind of use the Creative Commons, okay, yeah, whatever license. I just, all right, I don't know. I don't know what stories fit. Even though I have a category of the best of 100, grab one from there. Grab three from there. I don't know. The best of 100-word stories category on the blog is where I put the ones I think don't really suck all that bad. And if you grab some of those, that'll work. But I just do these. I post them up on the site and I don't think twice. Okay, sometimes maybe I think twice about, nah, I'm not sure about this one. Raping clowns and then setting children on fire. Yeah, that's, actually I'm going to write a story on that. Thank you, Stephen. And be sure to check out his new EPUB. I should probably do an EPUB at some point. Work up an app or something, put these all on Kindle, make $1 billion, and, I don't know, offer up like $10 prize money from now on. Next up is David. Yeah, David's back. And he didn't record his story, so I've got to go ahead and hand this off to, well, you know what. It's the midget.
I wanted to run. Consternation filled my heart. Deadly marshmallows flew past my head, missing their mark by inches. I regained my senses and did run like hell as a volley from the firewood bazooka smashed against the wall where I stood not a moment ago. My socks slipped as I tried to cross the freshly waxed floor. The cinders from the firewood blast lit our home ablaze. Mobile homes are not flame retardant. In the midst of reloading, the herbooze-soaked frock burst into a fiery inferno. In an instant, she and our divorce proceedings went up in smoke.
Well, thank you, midget. No, I thought about retiring the midget a while back and relying, you know, now that we have technology here, I can, my iPhone has a speaking app. I may have introduced it before. I'm not sure. I'm gonna load it up here. There's all sorts of voices in it, and, it's kind of weird. I mean, you can...
Consternation.
You see? It's got different weird voices, and you can go in, and there are more. There are more voices in there. That's just, that's Kenny. And you can go to the Speak It store, you know, because there aren't enough stores out there retrieving pricing information. You know, for you, it will cost twice as much. So you can, you know, Rosa, the Italian, and here's Yusuf, the Arab male.
Here.
See? Isn't that cool?
Hello, I am Yusuf.
Hello, Yusuf. Oh, it's nice to hear from you, Yusuf. I'm from.
Ik ben Femke, de Nederlandse vrouwelijke stem voor Speak It. Hello, I am Femke, the Dutch female voice for Speak It.
The Dutch voice for Speak It. Yeah, so I don't have to do stupid accents anymore. Now you can have a robot do them. Or you could call somebody up in Dutchland and say, hey, hi there, Dutchland person over Skype. Can you read a story for me and then record it and then post it? Wouldn't that be cool? Make it a challenge in a week to have someone, you know, call up someone by Skype and say, hey, could you read this and send me a recording? That would be kind of funny. Take effort, though. A lot of balls. Oh, next story is by, speaking of a lot of balls, it's Danny. Danny's got a story here. I don't know what it's about. I'm having a hard... My eyes aren't focusing. It's 5 in the morning. What am I doing up?
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here again with Weekly Challenge 254, which is quite a mouthful. Consternation, floor wax, firewood, and deadly marshmallows. Yeah, okay, crap. This was a challenge, so here we go. Much to my consternation, some idiot, me, poured floor wax all over the firewood. I was told it would get the fire to burn hotter. Now, after lighting the fire ablaze, we're trying to roast marshmallows over the toxic flames. All the toxic fumes from the floor wax are getting into the marshmallows, giving them a toxic yet very tasty hint of wax in the soft center of the marshmallow. I bite into the gooey center, and much to my consternation, I fall absolutely in love with this pile of toxic, gooey goodness. Now my doctor tells me I have cancer.
Ah, toxic, gooey goodness. By the way, just like Charlie Sheen last night, where if you drank every time that he said winning, you'd keel over dead. Drink every time you hear toxic. Okay. By the way, Toxic Ninjas. She's a hoot. Thank you, Danny. I just... I don't know what I'm doing. I'm poking myself in the arm and I don't feel it. Wow. I should probably go back to bed. Just move. Problem is Bruin. If Bruin's on the bed and he's asleep, and I try to go back to bed, he is spread out. He is like a bear rug. He is gigantic. And he's not fat, he's just big. He's a behemoth. He's bigger than Nardo. How did we get such a big cat? We didn't feed him grow hormone or anything, did we? What's in the cat food? Well, anyway, we'll find out what's in the cat food when we ask TJ. Because 75% of all cat food exports are actually mined out of North Dakota. Did you know that? I did not know that. That's where kibble comes from. So here's TJ from the land of kibble, North Dakota.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, where our production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is coming together quite well. If you're in town between April 7th and 10th, it'd be well worth your time checking it out. And this is Best Defense. Some little girls are described as having an inner light. Not Susie. Little Susie had more of an inner dark. When she overheard her family's hushed tones planning a trip to Yellowstone National Park, she suspected with consternation that they were planning to leave her in the woods. Well, the best defense, as they say, is a good offense. So she merrily went along with it. And while her father was out gathering firewood for their campfire, little Susie carefully shaped and powdered some floor wax into the form of marshmallows. Those deadly s'mores were the last thing any of them tasted.
Inner dark, I like that. Oh, and by the way, little Susie, that is my favorite name for a child character which befalls a tragic fate. If you look up on the internet, Little Susie, and I think it's Kevin Swearingen, there are some classic Flash cartoons of the evil pigs versus Little Susie. It's rather disturbing. So I don't know if they're still out there, though. That's the thing. You know, you get classics like Charlie Chaplin are preserved for all eternity. And yet, evil pigs. Nope. That just, poof. Even though there are copies of them all over the place, and they get such wide distribution across the world, they flash, and then they're gone. Thank you for rubbing that in, TJ. And I wish your production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf well. What is it, Virginia Woolfophobia? I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that. Richard Burton. Okay. How many more do we have? Oh, okay. I saw that Chivalry Bean, Justin Lowmaster, was going to get one in. He had written one, but he didn't record it. I guess he didn't trust the midget to do the story after all. Although, by the time that I post this and wake up, I'm sure that he's going to be... Oh, yeah, there's one more. Well, I keep telling people, you know, if you can't record it... I don't know. Maybe we'll, even if the midget's asleep, the robot can do it. The iPhone probably do it better than the midget. Okay, so here we go with first you've got kilobyte, then you've got megabyte, then you've got megabyte, then gigabyte, and then terabyte. And then above terabyte is trazabyte. So here's... I wonder what Vince's name this week is now.
Hello. I'm Barry White.
Tell me a secret.
And here is my entry for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, number 254. with a topic of consternation, floor wax, firewood, and deadly marshmallows. The title of my story is Viva la Romance. I came home early to create the perfect romantic evening for our first anniversary. I cleaned the house, waxed the floors, and prepared the finest of meals. When she came home, she was so surprised and loved being pampered. The grand finale was to be roasting marshmallows by the fire as we snuggled together. As I came back in from getting the firewood and roasting skewers, I slipped on the freshly waxed floor, fell over the couch, hit her in the head with the firewood, and stabbed the cat with the skewers. Imagine my consternation as they both lay motionless.
Barry White. As if I'm Barry White. I'm not even Perry White. I'm not even Betty White. Thank you, Barry White. Vince, Teresa, Bite, Vinny the... Okay, how about I just quit while I'm ahead and say... Let's go with Norval Joe and get them pipes blowing. Yep. Knock the harmonica against her boot. Get the dirt and the spit out of there. Maybe some chunks of gum. I don't know. Mine are looking pretty nasty these days. Dentist said, "Oh, do I gotta go in there? Can you just turn around in the chair and stick your ass up because it's not as bad up there." Yeah. Oh, well, at least I got a free colonoscopy out of the dental plan. How many people can say that?
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll from the Flying Island Press. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 254 with a bunch of prompts. Well, here's my story for this week. Mr. Parker was a veteran Boy Scout leader and thought he had seen it all. From lighting firewood with a blowtorch to blowing up the outhouse. "Johnny," he asked, with a sheepish smile of consternation, "what are you putting on your marshmallow?"
"My dad developed it," he said. "It's a mixture of edible polymers from floor wax and walnut shells. It will allow me to toast marshmallows without catching them on fire."
Pop rocks are candies that make small crackling sounds when it contacts saliva. It doesn't compare to what happened when Johnny touched the marshmallow to his tongue. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Oh, great. Now I've got a craving for Pop Rocks. Maybe I'll go walk to the... Maybe today's walk. I haven't been doing the long walks yet, but maybe today's walk. I'll go by Dylan's Candy Store in the Galleria if I do it late. If I do it early, I could go by Starbucks. Hey, Whataburger. You can hear it. You can hear it in my voice. I'm up way too early. Oh, I need tiger blood. I need to be winning. Thank you, Norval Joe, for that lovely tale. Thank you, everyone. I hate to wrap it up with on a down note, but that's what Planet Z is, isn't he?
To my consternation, Aunt Edith applied a liberal amount of floor wax to the bucket of firewood in the living room. She wanted to make them shiny and look good. So when it was time for dessert, Uncle Morty put marshmallows on the metal prongs and started up the fireplace. The logs caught quickly, releasing a toxic cloud. Deadly marshmallows, they were. Aunt Edith. Judy. The twins. If it weren't for the fact I'm in an environment suit, I'd be dead with them. Bubble Boy, immunodeficiency disorder. Call it whatever, but it saved my life. So, how about some marshmallows?
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on a bunch of topics. Or just look at the site, podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. It lists all the topics that people use this week. And I'm very proud of everyone for using all the topics. I thought that people were going to just use one or two, maybe three, but not all four. And they did. They used all four. Sometimes people write a story on each topic. Maybe that's what Justin was going to do, but I don't have the stories in my inbox, so I guess maybe next week. Maybe he'll record them anyway when he gets time. I mean, he's a dad running in circles and all that, having to change diapers and all that stuff. I mean, is changing diapers any worse than doing litter boxes? I'm not sure. Although with litter boxes, you do have some time. Go to the site, podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, for the archives, voting on your favorite stories, links to various authors, and the magazine that Stephen the Nuclear Man is publishing that I really should write something for someone other than myself. Maybe I'll do it as an April Fool's joke, or May Day or something. Just folks, bother me, write me constantly, isfullofcrap@gmail.com, or nag me through IMs constantly. Maybe I'll write a story about being nagged to death. There you go. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. And I will see you tomorrow with yet another story. And Tom will see you later on today with another suggestion on how he writes 100-word stories. You people are always asking him. So he keeps posting more. There you go. But most of all, I'm going to go get some sleep. Good night, and as always, keep it brief. Closing.